without delay. But before you go, you can hand me that new face pack that's on the dressing table, and I can be studying the instructions. And if you meet Jeeks in the corridor, tell her I shall want her 30 minutes earlier than usual. If my brother's coming, I shall have to be dressed to receive him, I suppose. Although it's a considerable effort, seeing that I have to keep such late hours. She concealed a yawn behind her hand, and Melanie crossed the thickly carpeted space between the bed and the dressing table, and then handed over the face pack. She could feel that her employer's eyes were following her a little critically as she moved, and then realised it was the tailored slacks and the white polo neck sweater she was wearing that were about to come in for a little adverse comment. "Whatever you do, Melanie, don't go and meet my brother in that outfit," Mrs. Duplessis implored. "It would bring down the wrath of the gods not only on your head but on mine. For of all things, he most deplores a woman in trousers. Next to that, he dislikes nail varnish, so don't wear any this morning, for I can't stand his endless criticisms. They bring on my migraine quicker than anything." Apparently it didn't matter that her own nails were as scarlet as if they had been newly dipped in blood, thought Melanie inwardly, however a trifle amused. "Very well, Mrs. Duplessis," she said, acquiescing at once. "I'll see to it that you are not upset on my account." "Good girl," Mrs. Duplessis approved, rewarding her with a bleak smile, while she started to butter a wafer-thin piece of toast. "It's a nuisance that we've got to have him at all, but he isn't likely to stay long, that's one thing, and then we'll be back to normal again. These famous men, you know, are always a bit trying. I don't know why it should be so, but they have such uncertain tempers, and Richard was always a little autocrat, even in his school days." "Was he?" Melanie murmured, and Mrs. Duplessis, lying back against her lace-edged feather pillows, started to reminisce. "I can recall how he once refused to allow my mother to wear a black evening gown, because he said black did not become her, and she was too sallow for pearls. Of course he was probably right, but in her place I would have worn what I pleased." "But your mother took his advice?" Melanie inquired with interest. "My dear, she couldn't very well do anything else. He hid the pearls, and he gave the black evening gown away to her maid. And it was all very unpleasant and awkward while it lasted. But Richard, of course, got away with it, as he always got away with everything, and still does."
"He must have a most forceful personality," Melanie observed.
"Forceful," Mrs. Duplessis gave vent to a hollow laugh. "He's altogether exhausting. If he's going to buy Walled House, I hope he'll hurry up and make up his mind, and then go away back to London while it's being got ready. I just couldn't endure him about for long."
"In that case, I hope he will for your sake," Melanie remarked, and thought with a sinking of the heart that that was the man she had instructions to meet at the station in a little less than an hour's time. Outside in the corridor, she encountered Potch, her employer's poodle, who was lying on a white sheepskin rug in the sunshine. Potch fitted in so well with his surroundings that Melanie felt she could forgive him his absurd lion cut, and as he came trotting eagerly to meet her, intent upon entering his mistress's room, where he would certainly not be welcome, with a facial treatment ahead of its occupant, she stooped and picked him up under one arm and carried him downstairs to the library. This library, like every other room in this exquisitely compact, beautifully proportioned small Georgian residence, was very elegantly furnished. The deep midnight blue carpet disappeared into every nook and cranny, and there were midnight blue velvet curtains at the windows and a vase of shaggy golden chrysanthemums on the knee-hole desk at which she usually worked.